This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our journey through the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, with Letter to Laodicea, an open door, holy, 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 lion, yet lamb, and he is worthy. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's time for love. La 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 la.
When I began hosting this program a long time ago, I never thought I would be using the phrase drag queen story hour, and I never thought that it would be something that is not just common, but in a lot of places, an everyday occurrence. Your local library? Local libraries here around this studio have decided that drag queen story hours are a really good idea. Some pastors and a lot of lay people don't agree. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 7th of June. We're going to get a pastoral response to Drag Queen Story Hours. Pastor Ben Ball will join us. And then Rebecca Curtis will join us to talk about a dangerous view of self in children's literature. Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He's 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ben, welcome back.
Great to see you, Todd. How are you today?
How do you respond to someone who says, why are Lutheran pastors getting involved in a civil realm issue like drag queen story hours?
Well, first, it's very easy that we are also citizens of this country and of our communities, so we have every right, just like every other citizen, to speak about things that might be going on in the body politic. But probably more importantly, the issue is, are we Christians? And are Christians, who are also pastors, able to speak to a variety of issues that are going on in the world, our communities, homes of Christian people? And of course we should. This is actually the essential thing of our calling, is to speak the word of God. St. Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 2, "Preach the word, be prepared, in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry." And of course, those duties of the ministry are to proclaim the truth of the word of God at all times and in all places, to whom the Lord will give ears to hear, that there might be repentance and salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And so Christian pastors, Lutheran pastors, Missouri Synod pastors are supposed to be speaking the truth at all times, at all places, wherever they find themselves, especially when there's stuff going on inside the church, inside our synod, inside their congregations, and outside in the community, the world, wherever they find themselves.
This, of course, is not only a local issue, but it has become one. Tell us what's happening at the Collinsville and Glen Carbon libraries.
So I was made aware of this, a couple weeks ago. There were Facebook posts, both in the Collinsville Library and in the Glen Carbon Library, that they would both be hosting drag queen story times. Two different drag queens from the St. Louis area were going to be presenting to children and anyone else interested, I guess, at these two libraries. At this point, upon seeing that, a lot of pastors, not only Missouri Synod pastors, but also pastors of other denominations, began to be very concerned that this was going to be happening in our localities where people go. I mean, I've gone to both libraries many, many times with my family. And so once become aware of it, what are you going to do? That's the question. And so one of the local pastors of a Pentecostal congregation here in Collinsville began to plan a peaceful protest at the library in Collinsville this past Friday when the drag queen was supposed to appear. And some of us went to that protest. And also, we put together a statement that was released to the media speaking the truth about the issue and encouraging people to also work and speak up against such behaviors.
Now that the LGBTQ agenda is gaining wide acceptance, the agenda seems to be openly targeting young people, especially small children. What do you think is going on here?
Yeah, I don't think it seems to be targeting young people. I think it is targeting young people. And we've seen this over well, probably the last several decades. In our public high schools, most of them, they've been gay-straight alliances that have been going on for quite some time. You've had people talking about that on the show for years. There's been the Day of Silence, which has been in public high schools for a long time, too. But now it's moving even farther down from just simply a high school level to children. You see this if you have Disney Plus. You could set the setting to the most kid-friendly setting on your Disney Plus, and it still is going to have the pride category. Everywhere you go, major corporations are targeting everybody and expressing their own allyship with the LGBTQ community, as it were. It's a targeting of everybody that needs to accept what God calls a sin and to encourage people not only to accept it, but also to become a part of it. And you see this, the whole trans fad, as it were, is now specifically targeting people, prepubescents, high school children, to identify themselves with outside of how God made them as either being male and female. And so this is certainly a direct attack upon children and, for a lack of a better term, grooming them into a deviant life, apart from God, his word, his design for their lives, and his good and glorious plan for them as his children.
How would you summarize your parental, your pastoral objections that are particular to Drag Queen Story Hours?
Well, I think the first way you can take it is just simply as a citizen. The public libraries of our communities are operated by taxpayers. And taxpayers should have a voice as to how their tax dollars are spent. And we supposedly still live in democracies. And so how tax dollars are spent, everyone can speak as to how those expenditures happen. And of course, in both of these cases, a public space funded by public dollars is going to be used or was used to promote a particular ideology, an understanding of human sexuality that is contrary to natural law, God's word, and all things that are good and holy. And so as a citizen, though, I can just simply say something like this should not be paid for by the public dollar nor promoted by public servants. It shouldn't be that way. We used to be told that sexuality was a private matter, and we're still told that. And that's why it's kind of the inconsistency of the argument that sexuality is simply private. It's no one's concern. But now, in this case, sexuality is quite public and is being promoted, a particular kind of sexuality, an understanding of someone in their own male and femaleness, or lack thereof, or something in between. And so citizens can say, no, this should not be. As a Christian, and as a Christian pastor, I can say that this actually also promotes the degradation of our society. It's the family which God has ordained, male and female, the giving of children in the one union that is lifelong between a husband and wife, that promotes not only stability within the family, but also stability in society and our communities. And so what needs to be promoted is the family according to natural law and the institution that we see, which has been degraded so much, of course, over the last couple decades in our society and in our own country. But we should still be able to promote it and say this is what is good for parents and for children.
What kind of response has your public objections and that of the other pastors received?
Overall, very positive. I'm not on Facebook, but my wife is, and so I kind of hack into her Facebook from time to time to see what's going on out there. And I think for the most part, citizens, not only members of our congregations, but from the communities that we have been represented by the pastors that signed the statement, have been very thankful for our speaking out and saying, this is wrong, it shouldn't happen, these things should not be in our communities. And I think that's been very good. And I think it's actually a positive thing for our congregations, because when pastors speak, sometimes I was talking to one of our members on the way over here. She wasn't sure what to do or how to say it personally. And so when the pastors of our congregations are able to speak out publicly, they are speaking for their members who might have a difficult time verbalizing their disagreement or might not have a forum to do it, but pastors always do. We're public ministers of the gospel, of the word of God. And so we can testify and proclaim in many ways that our people can't. And sometimes our people, they might face consequences that we pastors never would. So you see, for example, like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays baseball players, they simply didn't want to wear the pride flag emblem on their shoulders during the ball game the other night. And in many ways, they gave a very positive example of courage standing up against the predominant culture now that says you have to comply. And of course, one of our local St. Louis Cardinals called them fools or bigots or something like that. I can't remember what exactly he said. And of course, many commentators called them bigoted because they just simply wouldn't wear a pride symbol on their uniform. That's how all of our people are facing things. They don't want to go along. And if you don't want to go along, there's something wrong with you. You must go along these days. And so our people are facing that pressure all the time, more than we pastors do. So pastors have to speak not only the word of God, but they have to speak and give an example to their people and also speak for their people.
Why is it important to remember just how quickly the LGBTQ agenda has advanced?
The first time I was on your show was when I was serving in Massachusetts in 2003, when Massachusetts became the first state in the union to legalize homosexual marriage. And, you know, I guess it was 19 years ago, but it seems like it was just yesterday. Things have moved so quickly from just simply the predominant culture saying, okay, this is just about kind of visitation in hospitals, legal benefits that are supplied to married couples should be given to homosexual couples too. Oh, we're all just going to get along and everything will be fine. But now we have progressed to the point so very quickly where children are being targeted and parents are more than willing to allow their children to be targeted. Unfortunately, that's kind of the sad thing about the Drag Queen Story Hour. There are parents that were bringing their children to these things. But it's not, obviously, the vast majority of parents. But that's what parents are facing. They're facing the pressure of having to talk about sexuality and what that means to very small children. Like, what are these rainbow flags that I'm seeing all over the place? Children are asked, they ask questions like that, and they're inquisitive. They ask. And how are parents supposed to answer those kind of questions? Parents have to in some way. And this has very quickly happened beyond probably what we thought the degradation of our society could even go down this quickly, but it has. And so Christian parents need to say, well, there's all kinds of sins that happen that people commit. And in this case, people think it's okay to do that, to commit a sin. And we don't. God doesn't. And so we're to listen to God's word and to do what he says. And I think you can just say it as simple as that. You don't need to get into any of the details about what that all means with a little child. Of course, Christian parents need to use their wisdom as they are able to teach their children as they grow in years as to what things are and what things they should do and should be thinking and shouldn't be. But Christian parents are now forced into these conversations, which they never would have had before.
Pastor Ben Ball is our guest. He's 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're getting a pastoral response to Drag Queen Story Hours. He mentioned same-sex marriage. Recent polling says 70% of Americans support it. I wonder what he makes of that. We'll find out next. The hero's journey is a prominent theme in mythological tales and fantasy novels. But what if one of those heroes were real? Jesus Christ is a real hero born to save humanity from their villains, sin, death, and the devil. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Lord of Legends, Jesus' Redemption Quest. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Lord of Legends, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
With the oldest deaconess program of the LCMS, Concordia University Chicago has fully certified young women for the deaconess vocation for more than 40 years. I'm Deaconess Kristen Wasilak, Program Director for Deaconess Studies. Help us identify the next generation of servants to care for souls, engage our communities in mercy, and teach God's Word. Learn more about Concordia Chicago's Deaconess Program today at cuchicago.edu, cuchicago.edu.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
A pastoral response to Drag Queen Story Hours is our topic. Pastor Ben Ball of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're linked to Issues Etc. Congratulations to Chaplain Derek Walter on being named Chaplain of the Year by the U.S. Air National Guard. LCMS chaplains deliver word and sacrament ministry to our military personnel and their families. Find out about the work of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces. Pastor Ball, you had mentioned before the break same-sex marriage. Recent national polling by Gallup shows that 70% of Americans in some form or another support same-sex marriage. What do you make of that?
I'm not surprised by it. I think there's been an unrelenting move towards acceptance of homosexual marriage. And I think most people just kind of have the laissez-faire attitude. Well, it doesn't matter to me. It's not going to bother me. It's of no consequence to my life. But now, perhaps people are seeing it is of consequence to your life when you will be forced either by your position in your employment, how children, either your grandchildren, your own children, are now being forced to have to deal with these issues at a very young age. Now people might say, maybe that whole slippery slope that the Christians were talking about 20 years ago when gay marriage first became a thing, where things were going to lead, it actually has led there. And maybe people will reevaluate their position.
How do you respond to those who say things like the Drag Queen Story Hour, they're silly, but they're harmless?
Well, I think you have to take what the Drag Queen Story Hour people or their advocates are actually saying the events are about. In the Collinsville one, which took place this past Friday, they said it was about acceptance, inclusion, and love. They have definitions for those terms. They have a very clear ideology when they use those terms as to what that means. And it's not the same definition that Christians would have of acceptance and love. Love in the scriptures, of course, is the fulfillment of the law. God is love. And how does he show this love? By sending Christ to die for us poor sinners. Love is not license. Acceptance, God accepts us in his Son. The way in which God the Father takes us to himself is always through the atoning sacrifice of the Son of God, who shed his blood for poor sinners, for this whole world, to redeem us and to bring us to the Father. That's how the Father accepts us. God the Father does not accept sin. As a matter of fact, he punishes it. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, he says. Where has that punishment taken place? On the cross of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And the Son of God has sent the Spirit into all the world that people would repent and believe that gospel. Should they not, judgment is coming. And so we all need to flee from such judgment at the mercy seat of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And so these things like Drag Queen Story Hour are not harmless. They're harmful.
How do you respond to someone who says the Drag Queen Story Hour couldn't happen in their community?
Well, I guess we learned around here that it sure could, and it is. Madison County, Illinois is a pretty conservative place, and there's lots of Christians that live here. I think back when the Synod did the demographic survey of how many Missouri Synod people live in all the different counties of the United States, Madison County had one of the highest per capita number of people in this county, more than a lot. I can't remember exactly the numbers, but there's a lot of Missouri Synod Lutherans and a whole lot of Christians, but it still came to our county, and it can come to yours too.
You cite several Bible passages in your public statement about the Drag Queen Story Hours, Mark 10 and Matthew 18. Why those passages?
Well, first we should start with Mark 10. In Mark chapter 10, our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course it's the passage that is tied to holy baptism and our baptismal rite. People were bringing little children to Jesus that he would touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said, "Let the little children come to me and forbid them not, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Our Lord Jesus Christ loves little children. He loves it when parents bring them to him in holy baptism. He died for them all. He wants them to be children of his Father. And so it's good that children are baptized, that they receive the teaching of the Lord, that they too become disciples of Jesus and follow him. He died for them all. He loves them all. And he seeks to save them through his means, the means of grace, his word and his holy baptism. Our Lord Jesus Christ also, in Matthew chapter 18, the disciples come to him and they ask a question. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a little child, he put in the midst of him and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And so Jesus says that we all should be like little children who trust in him with a holy faith, in the innocence of childhood faith, and see him as our Lord, our Savior, the one who cares and loves for each and every one of us. We're supposed to be like that. And of course, in the kingdom of heaven, we will be children of our Father in heaven. But then he goes on to this great warning. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea." That's Matthew 18, 5 and 6. So Jesus teaches us that when we serve little children faithfully, we are serving him. The reception of a little child is the reception of Jesus. That's part of the reason, of course, why we're pro-life. We know that we are all made in the image of God, and every child that is formed in his or her mother's womb is formed fearfully and wonderfully, and our Lord Jesus Christ became like one of us, born of his own mother. And so we see in each child born a remembrance of how our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for our salvation. But then Jesus goes on to say that those who cause little ones who believe in him to sin, there is great judgment. It would be better for them to be drowned in the depths of the sea with a great millstone fastened around their neck. It's a warning of impending judgment against those who would transgress his word and hurt the little children of his fold. And people should hear that. Jesus does not give false threats. He is Lord and God, and he is coming again to judge both the living and the dead. This is cause for repentance and turning to him. And so that's why in our statement that we prepared, we encourage all people to pray for repentance for those that are doing such things, and for us also to remain vigilant in our own prayers that the word of God may be spread and cast about, that people may turn from sin and believe and have the same salvation and hope and peace and joy that we have in our Savior Jesus Christ's forgiveness and love.
What can the average layperson do about the advance of the LGBTQ agenda, especially the targeting of children by LGBTQ activists?
I think there's some very simple things. They can write letters to their local school boards. They can make phone calls to their local library boards and their school boards, wherever these things are taking place. They can show up at board meetings. They can express their displeasure there. They are free citizens and are able to do so. Some of them might even be moved to run for office. Every few years, library boards are reelected, and people can make policies about what can or cannot happen at these different public arenas where people have the free exchange of ideas. And they should do those things. And they should be able to simply to confess and speak in their own homes. And that's where it all starts, of course. Teaching those good and gracious things that God has revealed to us in His Word to their families, and to their children and grandchildren, and then, of course, in the congregation, and then in their communities, where people need to hear the Word of God, and, of course, live together under natural law and the laws of our country in peace and quietness.
You write, "We strive to make our churches places of refuge from a world gone mad. We preach the love of God to all who will repent of their wrongdoing and come with open arms to receive the Lord's grace. There can be no repenting of wrongdoing without acknowledging that it exists. As ministers of Christ, it is our duty to say that the actions of Collinsville and Glen Carbon libraries are wrong. We exhort all involved to repent of this wrongdoing. We encourage all Christians to beseech the Lord to give them repentance and faith." How would you summarize that?
I think by simply saying, we in our congregations proclaim the Word of God. We proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all people. We welcome all those to come with us to look at the foot of the cross and see our sins there, where Jesus Christ died for them all. And He calls us to be His disciples, to turn and to repent. That call goes out to all people in this world. And we see our congregations as places of refuge from the chaos and madness of this world. And we welcome all people to turn from sin, to look to Christ, and to have the peace that passes all understanding.
You can read a statement regarding drag queen story hours at Collinsville and Glen Carbon libraries at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and he's 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ben, thanks for your time.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Rebecca Curtis joins us on the other side. She has recently written for Public Discourse a column titled "Changing the Story, Changing the Self, Metamorphosis in Children's Books." We'll talk about a dangerous view of the self in children's literature.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that He does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Saving faith is a living, creative, active, and powerful thing, Martin Luther writes. How can it not be? It is created by our loving God through His living words and life-giving deeds. Living Faith Lutheran Church is located at 1171 Atlanta Highway in Cumming, Georgia. Come train in God's Word with us for the baptized life. in our adult catechumenate. Find out more on the web at livingfaithlutheran.com.